The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, DNC Day 4, Thursday, Kamala Harris's day, Devil's Advocates Day. Welcome, Dom.
Crudy, good to be with you once again in Chicago. Beautiful day down here and a wonderful, wonderful event last night. The party went on all night, and it's going to be another big one tonight.
Mm-hmm. And we got one of our partying buddies, Scott Ross, right from the top, Wisconsin's own trash-tweeting Gemini friend of ours.
Mr. Ethics.
The boy you love to hate. It's day four. Where's our fourth horseman?
I don't know what's happening.
You know?
Who's it going to be?
Where's the fourth horseman for here, for us?
Oh.
You know? I'm going old school wrestling, but that's okay. How are you guys enjoying the day?
So far, so good, but we're just getting started.
Just getting started.
Scott Ross, last night, we were promised a really big surprise guest, and she came in the Oprah Winfrey package. Man, we promised you on the air, and we delivered. But Scott Ross, we're promised a bigger guest than Oprah Winfrey at the DNC today. Who's bigger than Oprah?
Who's going to be the big special guest? I mean, a lot of people are speculating, right? We've got, you know, Pink performing, the Dixie Chicks performing.
Right.
You know, the two biggest ones I heard are Taylor Swift and Beyonce. But I'm here to tell your guests who I think the surprise guest is tonight at the RNC. You ready?
Is it?
Or DNC? Melania Trump.
That would bring the house down.
I think if anybody can deliver Melania Trump to the DNC, it's Ben Wickler, the Dem Party chair,
yes,
for
make,
sure.
Make it happen. Make it. I heard it was going to be the late, great Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Well, there you go, you know. Will they roll him out on a dolly?
With the mask on.
You know?
That would be good. You know,
absolutely.
Just yes, that would be
think about
good.
It would be the perfect place where he could say, in Senada, love the suit. And there'd be like, you know, 51 senators.
Right. Our friend Scott Ross here at the DNC table at the United Center. Scott, how's the party been for you so far?
I have had an extraordinarily good time. Got to catch up with some people I know from Wisconsin, but also around the country.
Yeah.
I've got to talk to fine people like yourselves about, you know, how I see things going. So it's been terrific. Without a doubt, I've had a great time. And we, you know, I know that you don't have a lot of time for me, but I'm glad that I was able to stop by and say, hey, I got a couple other things to do. So, you know, glad to tell your listeners, your loyal listeners,
Melania,
who's going to be the special
super
guest tonight.
Special
it's
guest.
Melania Trump. It's going to bring the house down.
I love that. Scott Ross, love you, brother. And now we got to say goodbye because
we're
bumping you for a bigger
deal. We were looking for the Tully Blanchard, and he has shown. So see you guys later.
All right,
Scott,
thanks, good to see you.
Thank you so much, man. We welcome another fine guest right here at the DNC table. Ben Wickler, the fine Democratic Party chairman of the great state of Wisconsin. We'll let him recombobulate for just a moment. Ben.
The recombobulation is complete. Good to see you, Mike.
Welcome back, man.
Good to see you, man.
You sound as hoarse as Bill Clinton right now.
You know, a Democratic convention is not a place to conserve your voice. It's a place to use your voice. It's like Tim Walz's theory of government. You build political capital so you can use it to make people's lives better.
Amen, brother.
I thought you were going to say you're going to sleep when you're dead.
That's the other thing. Yeah, that's my other piece of advice. But I just heard some misinformation on the air. Melania Trump is a special guest. I think it's actually the ghost of Fred Trump who's going to come down and then look directly in the camera and tell Donald Trump, that he'll never be good enough and that he needs to be even more mean to the people around him in order to prove to his dad that he can be as mean as his dad was to him. I think that that's what we're likely to see.
Perhaps Fred will rise up from hell.
From the lower yes, from the lower chamber.
More personal insults. Trump's new campaign reset. Ben, last night, the rollout of the vice presidential nominee, Tim Walz, this guy, I mean, he is a very Midwestern guy. He seemingly is an everyman sort of character. And this is not what we typically get at the highest level of the ticket. Ben, how have you liked this selection so far?
I have been blown away. Tim Walz makes you want to be a better person.
Yeah.
He, as a dad, he makes you want to be a better dad. He makes you want to be a better neighbor. That, like, having someone like Tim Walz, the kind of person that, as Oprah said, everyone says, I wish people like that would run for office. Why can't we put that guy into high office? And here he is running. He's going to be our vice president. It's just amazing. And I think it speaks to Kamala Harris and her judgment, because there was a huge amount of press coverage about, you know, she should pick this person or that person strategically, da-da-da-da-da.
Right, right.
And she went with a choice that I think speaks to America's heart and soul. You know, somebody who just inspires everyone to be them best selves, has this huge reserve of energy, is the kind of person that just about everyone in Wisconsin knows and loves, someone like that.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks to who she is as well. She's somebody who has a deep understanding of what actually makes communities tick, what helps people to thrive. And it does involve joy. It involves care. It involves the kind of combination of toughness and fairness and love that makes a coach great and that makes a leader great. And I think it makes this ticket great.
Ben Wickler, our fine guest, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. Before we look ahead to this evening's event, let's talk about the Wisconsin roll call, the entire roll call. And we were doing the broadcast for WCPT, and we were simulcasting the Walz comments in Milwaukee. And then we took the roll call along with everybody else at the DNC. And it was a hell of an event. Tony had a little moment, but I think it almost added to the charm of the event, don't you, Ben?
We love you, Tony. We love you, Tony. We have a governor who is a real human being.
Right.
And he had a wave of happiness and excitement. And, you know, who wouldn't have that in that moment? This was not slick. This was human. And that is part of what makes this whole convention great, in my view.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. You know, I was right there next to him with the whole crowd of all the Wisconsin delegates in our cheeseheads,
yep,
cheering and shouting and so fired up and excited. We went through all our sports teams. And
Jump Around was playing.
I mean, oh my God, what a party. What a party. And that energy, I think, is fueling this wave of people signing up. We had 42, since Harris became the nominee, 42,000 people signed up to volunteer for this ticket in the state of Wisconsin.
That's amazing.
That's more than twice.
Just in Wisconsin.
Yeah, just in Wisconsin. That's more than twice Biden's margin of victory just in volunteers. It's just unreal, and that's the kind of enthusiasm that you could see in that roll call. I'll also never forget that moment with Georgia when Lil Jon came out and started with a yeah, and everyone just lost their minds. Yeah, I mean, politics is supposed to be fun. Let's let it be fun for once. Good God.
I cannot imagine how they were possibly going to top Tuesday. It was the biggest political spectacle I've seen in my lifetime, Ben. Of the speakers you've seen so far, who has been most inspiring to you?
I mean, Tim Walz and Michelle Obama. Those are the two the most. But so many have been so good. But I keep coming back to those two moments. And I think for both of them, they were kind of moments that transcended politics. They actually spoke to these basic questions of who we want to be as people, as a country, in our communities. The way that they kind of reached out to voters, people who are cynical about politics, people who don't want to think about politics, find the whole thing stressful, and ask them to really like listen to their best selves about how they want to show up in the world and what kind of country we should build. That was an invitation to go beyond just partisan bickering. And, you know, partisan bickering is part of life, but there's something deeper than that at work here. And I think you could really hear it in those two speeches especially. You also heard that in Oprah's, you heard that in Barack Obama's, you heard that in a number of different moments. But those two speeches, I think those will stand the test of time as the way that you can communicate at a higher and deeper level at the same time.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party, the great state of Wisconsin, at the table with us. Ben, always a pleasure. Great job in Wisconsin, man. We really appreciate having you in our state. The values and character, these kinds of concepts that we keep hearing about, of freedom, taking back, I think, some of the mantles that the Republicans have stolen and Democrats have not fought for. I think it's a great contrast. And one thing that's really stuck out to me, Ben, is the strength of the bench. I mean, some of these it is, and I'm comparing to obviously the Mega and what happened in Milwaukee with the RNC, but the bench just seems so strong to me, Ben.
There's so many great Democrats leading in states across the country and in the U.S. House and in the U.S. Senate. I mean, it is just awe-inspiring, and it I think represents the fruition of this idea that President Biden once referred to almost casually about being a bridge to the next generation. We see that generation on display here. It's got to be tough to be Trump, because he was casting about, and it was like, do I go with Doug Burgum or do I go with J.D. Vance? I guess I go with J.D. Vance.
Yes, this is like, who cares? No one's voting for the vice president anyways. It's his attitude about his own selection.
Oh, my God. The future looks really bright right now. I think people have a sense of letting themselves hope, letting themselves dream about what's possible. And if you think about what happens if we win these House and Senate races and the presidency this spring, in the course of the spring, we could pass the PRO Act, end right-to-work laws, and restore the right to organize for unions in every corner of the country. We could pass the Freedom to Vote and John Lewis Voting Rights Act, end partisan gerrymandering and voter suppression nationwide, override all these terrible laws in Wisconsin, and we could pass Tammy Baldwin's Women's Health Protection Act and end the abortion bans that cover a third of the women in this country and for 451 days took away rights from all the women in Wisconsin. All those things could happen in less than a year. We could be next August looking back at the most productive first 6 months of an administration in American history. And
that sounds a lot coming off this Biden administration, who got a lot of things done.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it is so wild to think about the way that we've set the table as a party to really deliver change.
Now, Ben, when you talk about those sound like very specific issues and things that we want to try to get done. There are criticism from the MAGAs is, oh, no one's talking policy, no one's talking issues. They're all just being mean to Donald Trump. What's your response to that attitude?
That is whining, complaining, preposterous nonsense. It was what Oprah said. There's a choice between common sense and nonsense.
Right.
These Republicans, I mean, Trump is still blathering about how he's going to unveil his big health plan one day.
In 2 weeks.
The guy tried to overturn the Affordable Care Act with no alternative. And how many years later? 7 years later, still hasn't shown us one iota of an idea of a figment of his imagination about how you'd actually get coverage back to the tens of millions of people that he wanted to take it away from. These guys, Trump's idea of an economic policy is to wave at a box of Cheerios and say, no one thought about Cheerios for years. I mean, give me a break.
They're like $100 a pound, though. Kamala Harris has the biggest speech of her political career. Last 30 seconds, Ben Wickler, what do you think we can expect tonight?
I think the most important thing is to reach the voters who are just tuning in for the first time. Tell her story. Be herself. Show us who she is, who she's for, why she's doing this. And when she does that, that makes the case.
You better save some of that voice for the screaming tonight, the celebrating Ben Wickler, Democratic Party Chair, great state of Wisconsin. We are the Devil's Advocates, live at the DNC Day 4. It's Kamala's Day. Come on back. More at the table.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks so much.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road in Chicago, DNC. The final night. We're taking you with us. You can also join on the lines at 844-967-2789.
And thank you to a couple of fine guests. Thank you, Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler. He has definitely been a man on a mission here in Chicago. Someone get Ben a lozenge. Also, Scott Ross, our buddy, got the short shift.
Sorry, Scott.
Sorry.
We love Scott, man.
Bigger guest came along. It's just the way it goes here on Radio Row.
You know how the media thing works, man. In and out, comes and goes. Things, you set them up. When you come down to these kinds of things, you get lots of politicians, lots of friends walking around doing the thing. You make plans, the best laid plans, and sometimes they don't work out. But you roll with it, man. The good news is, man, everyone's in a good mood. Crudy, everybody is in a good mood.
Did you see how helpful I've been? And you know him.
I know.
Really a helpful guy.
Okay, most people are in a good mood. You know, some of the people that have been producing this thing, they've been working some long hours, but I still see him smiling.
Jill Weinbiggs, we all know her. She's something of a legal eagle. She's way back here by us looking For the other location we actually produce and we will be at later, WCPT's location, a little closer to the bowl. And I said, no problem. She's like, I got to be on the air at 4. And I'm thinking, so do I. But I walked Jill all the way through back to the WCPT. And very gracious woman. She said, well, if you guys are here all night, maybe I could help you. So I've got her contact. We'll see.
All right, we'll see.
If Jill Weinbanks can join us for the evening coverage, because we're going to take you all the way through right here on Civic Media. You can listen on your local station. But the coverage continues with us at 7 o'clock all the way until the end of Kamala Harris's speech. Maybe a little wrap-up at the end. Not too long, though, because this place is like a zoo when these events are done. There's 20,000 inside the room and like 30,000 outside the room. It's kind of a big deal, this DNC. So anyways, we're enjoying ourselves. We've got our buddy in labor, Rick Smith, joining us a little bit later in the show. We've got someone coming over from the Human Rights Campaign at the 5 o'clock happy hour. Let me just make sure I'm getting everyone acknowledged here, Don. But last night, let's talk about last night for just a minute as I find my bookings list here. Good thing I don't take notes.
This is what I'm saying. You had one job.
It's in my phone. It's in my phone. Elizabeth Warren at the Wisconsin delegation breakfast this morning.
And how was it? Did you go?
I did not.
You had one job, Crudy.
I made it to one breakfast this week. I'm not a breakfast guy. You know, I usually don't eat till lunch, Dom. Yeah, we've been eating breakfast food for lunch.
Yeah, but usually it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Let's get to some of the sound. Rich doing the hard work for us. Let's start at the bottom. Bill Clinton, he had, although certainly not the most energetic speech, and you know the guy's getting older, some very good burns on the former guy. This was one of my favorites. If you would please, Rich, let's start with cut number 15, the former president.
The personal vanity I want to assert is I'm still younger than Donald Trump.
Bill Clinton, now 78, had a birthday 3 days ago.
Happy birthday, Bill. Still younger than Donald Trump. Rough. The voice sounded pretty rough, but he stepped up. And apparently, Crudy, I heard that he was kind of stomping on his own speech, kind of went off script a little bit.
He tore up his speech and started over during the convention. Apparently, he wanted to recast the speech because he was so inspired by some of the earlier speakers. That was my understanding. Bill didn't consult with me.
Let's keep going on Bill Clinton, cut number 16.
She said that it, and this meant a lot to me, that she would protect everybody's right to vote, whether or not they voted for her. They were a citizens, and they deserve the right to vote.
Well, there's a fun concept. Everyone, as citizens, has the right to vote. If more people did, maybe we wouldn't have a guy like Donald Trump.
You know, they talk about
president.
The lack of policy. At least that's what they're talking about on the Foxy News.
Of course.
No policy, just happy people. Yeah. Well, my understanding, the Harris-Walz policy, one of the first things they want to do is what Bill Clinton was just talking about. And also there's, what, this proposal to reduce the cost of housing. I mean, there are several, protecting the right to vote is the priority of the Harris administration, their first legislative priority. That's what they would roll out first. And there's a reason why Bill Clinton's referencing it. The freedom to actually, what, be able to exercise your constitutional rights? What a quaint notion.
Come on. What? How naive, Crudy. Let's keep going. Again, another big rip on the former guy by the other former guy, Bill Clinton, talking about Donald Trump. Count the lies. Cut 17.
The next time you hear him, don't count the lies. Count the eyes. Count the eyes. His vendettas, his vengeance, his complaints, his conspiracies.
Count the eyes. Of course. Again, very, very simple, but a great focus on how self-centered and self-serving Trump is.
And Clinton did contrast that. He said, Kamala Harris is going to be about you.
Bill Clinton last night being a little self-deprecating, talking about the McDonald's. Cut number 18, please, Rich.
This was a good line.
So happy when she actually enters the White House as president, because she will break my record as the president who spent the most time at McDonald's.
And then at the end here, Bill Clinton made a statement. He said he triple-checked it, and the fact-checkers have come out. So listen closely. What a record he's describing, the contrast between Democratic policies and Republican policies. Play Bill Clinton.
You're going to have a hard time believing this, but so help me.
Believe it.
I triple-checked it. Since the end of the Cold War in 1989, America has created about 51 million new jobs. I swear I checked this three times. Even I couldn't believe it. What's the score? Democrats 50, Republicans 1.
Wow.
50 million jobs
statistic, man.
Created under Democratic administrations, 1 million net jobs created since the Cold War, since 1989, by all combined Republican administrations. 50 to 1. Oh, no. Trump's the guy that's good.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, live on the road. The occasion, the DNC, Chicago, Illinois. We're at the United Center. And we've got another fine guest who's joined us here at the table. He is Ken Weber, author of a book, Branding Democrats, a top-to-bottom reimagining of campaign strategies. Ken, very nice to meet you.
Hey, it's
welcome
great
to the
be
show,
here.
Sir.
Good. Thank you very much for allowing me to sit in with you.
Oh, we appreciate it. Mutual friend, Congressman Mark Pocan, introduced us.
Mark Pocan is one of my best friends. He's the one who actually got me the passes for every day.
Nice.
You know, I'm a New Yorker. He's not. But he knows I'm active in Democratic politics and helping Democrats do better.
Well, Ken, let me ask you, didn't the Democratic Party turn their messaging on its ear about a month ago?
You're right.
Yes, but the reason the book is called Branding Democrats is because the first thing we do in the first chapter is differentiate between marketing and branding, just the generic terms. So marketing is kind of what you're talking about, what's happening now. You know, this is our candidate, the Rolex watches are on sale, you know, Chevy Spring Gala or something. Branding is for 5 years, 10 years, what do Democrats stand for? That doesn't change, but, you know, with the seasons, doesn't change with the candidate. And the push of the book is to say, stop making every candidate present themselves as if they're different. 90% of Democrats represent the same 90% issues. We should focus on getting the brand out about who Democrats are. A lot of people out there in the world don't know what we stand for.
Ken Weber, Branding Democrats, his book. Ken, generational. There has also been a generational change here. Do you think the branding is different for differing generations?
Well, that's a great question. It is, because in my generation, you're younger than me. Both of you are younger than me. You know, I still read the New York Times paper.
I like the paper as well.
Because you see everything.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Turn the page and things you didn't think you were going to read, you read the captions. So I get 7 days a week, the Times. I read lots of newspapers, magazines. Most people, either if they read the Times at all, it's online. And then the youngest, the Gen X, I don't even know anymore.
We're Gen X. That's, yeah. There's way younger than
yeah, I'm sorry.
Gen Z, Gen Y.
I don't know.
No, that's fine,
I'm a
sir.
Boomer, and that's all I care about.
Okay, boomer.
Exactly. You know, they don't even do what I just said. They just get TikTok news or something. And yes, I'm on TikTok, and yes, I have 41,000 followers.
Nice.
Wipe that smirk off your face. All political stuff, too.
Ken Weber, our fine guest here at the table at the DNC United Center in Chicago. He's got a new book out, at least new to us, Branding Democrats. Ken, maybe I'm not differentiating properly between the marketing and the branding, but some of the marketing, as I would interpret it, based on your definition, has changed, literally. The term freedom is now front and center, and I think, you know, call it a marketing ploy, call it a brand, but I think this is a great thing. I think it was time the Democrats took the word freedom back.
Yes, freedom and patriotism.
Mm-hmm.
So it says a top-to-bottom reimagining of campaign strategies. So, for example, if you go out and you see a home with an American flag painted on the front door or something, what do you think?
Right? MAGA.
MAGA, or at least Republican.
Yes,
well, that's ridiculous. They're no more patriotic than Democrats, but we allowed them to take that over.
Right.
So, for example, when we say top-to-bottom reimagining of campaign strategies, one of the small things at the bottom of the list of big things to do, you know, things to do, yard signs. Every yard sign for a Democrat should say their name, proud American, proud Democrat. Proud to be a Democrat. Don't back off, no matter who's in office. Proud Democrat, because we stand for the things most people out there, I'm pointing out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Most people out there agree
There's
with us on
there.
Most people agree with us on most issues.
Right.
And most Democrats agree on the same, like, 10 or 15 core issues. Well, the kids who get their news from TikTok or no news from anywhere, they don't understand what Democrats are. That's where the branding comes in. You know, the other side has done a great job of branding, guns, free Second Amendment, and border policy, tough border policy, and, of course, abortion, you know, tightening down on that. But, you know, people don't understand what the Democrats stand for. We know, those of us in the arena, they don't know. And we only need 1-3% in many, many elections to turn. So, by the way, I'm just going to keep talking for a moment. Here in the convention, everybody's talking about Kamala, Kamala and Tim. Kamala, Kamala and Tim. What about the down ballot people? You got, if Kamala gets in, hopefully, she needs this House and Senate.
Yeah.
And we need the legislatures in all the states. And it's just frustrating for me, wrote the book, to say how I synthesized the book in 5 words, the party, not the person. Focus on the party, not the person. The persons, the people, the candidates come and go. The party stays.
But Ken, you know, the Democrats got to fall in love. We got to fall in love. And I would see this is playing out in the difference in enthusiasm for Kamala Harris relative to Joe Biden.
Right.
Suddenly we've found a new love. We're in puppy love as a party.
Yep.
Ken,
yep.
People don't fall in love with concepts, do they? Don't they?
Great question.
You explain.
Great question. Okay. And the marketing for today is we have a dynamic, joyous, brilliant candidate. That's the current marketing. And that's good for the next, 75 days?
75 days.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So that's actually the marketing. The reason we wrote the book, I wrote it with my son, who's actually a branding executive for Fortune 500 companies. The reason we wrote the book is, again, past the 75 days, 5 years, 10 years, long-term branding. Again, the Republicans have done this much better, that they're the, you know, crime in the streets, fighting against crime in the streets and stop
the law and order party.
The law and order party. Yeah, I have a whole list of all the phrases that they have taken over, and then I have named the phrases that adhere to Democrats. It's blank. It's a blank list because we don't have any. And that's our fault. It's our fault.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Author Ken Weber of the book Branding Democrats. Ken, what about if you leave that hole there, if that page is blank, well, the other side, the Republicans, they'll determine. They'll tell what
they
the brand is for the Democrats.
And they did. You know, I do TikToks, and the other side responds, and they say, well, you guys are all baby killers. You guys want to just give free things away to illegal immigrants. That's their issue. They literally think their Democratic neighbors, are that.
Yeah.
What Fox News or Newsmax down the hall has told them we are. But we're not. That is our fault. We have to go after the media and say, stop allowing them to say that. Why didn't you push back? Let's present the other side because we're not pro-abortion. We're pro-women's rights, healthcare rights. Frame it properly.
It's different. Ken, what about the rural areas? I know we talked about the marketing versus to different generations.
Mm-hmm.
What about the rural areas, regional marketing? Does that also come into effect?
It does somewhat. But, you know, as I think I said, and I've talked to so many people, forgive me.
It's all right.
For many elections, it's just 1-3% we need.
Yeah, yeah.
So even rural people, they care about health care. They care about fair taxation. You know, the billionaires shouldn't be paying less than the secretaries. You know, they care about LGBTQ rights because even in the rural areas, they got them, right? You know, everybody knows somebody. Democrats care about minority rights. You know, workers' rights, protecting workers' rights, union rights. So even in the rural areas, and by the way, my friend, Congressman Mark Pocan, he represents rural people.
Sure.
They love him because he explains, no, what you think Democrats stand for is a mistake. That here's what we really stand for.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We are live at the DNC right here in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. We got a fine author and a guest, Ken Weber. He authored the book Branding Democrats, a top to bottom reimagining of campaign strategies. Let me ask you, Donald Trump's been running for president for like 9 years.
Yep.
Continuously. He never really stopped.
Yep.
The Democrats and Joe Biden, obviously, he was the incumbent, so we all expected he would be the top of the ticket. But all of a sudden, we've got this fresh face candidate. We have the vice president at the top of the ticket and this very abbreviated cycle.
Yeah.
Maybe should we be considering abbreviating the cycle, or is this more of a perpetual branding
the book,
cycle?
We started to write the book 2 years ago, before this whole thing.
Sure.
The debate.
You can't put something into print based on what's happened in the last 30 days.
Exactly my point. But as long as you brought up the orange Mussolini.
Yes, sir.
I'd prefer not to say his name.
Yes.
He gets branding. People don't vote for a convicted felon. They don't vote for a womanizer. All the negatives about Donald Trump, they vote for the brand. Here in Chicago, I'm in the Sheraton. I open my window, I see the Chicago River. It's a beautiful sight. But at night, when I open my window, I see the 20-foot
Trump Tower.
I won't say it. T-R-U-M-P. Branding. They think, he created that from scratch. He's a genius. No, he didn't. Hundreds of millions in debt. He screws up Atlantic City casinos where the houses always wins. He's got a whole list of failures, and America's the latest. But, so he's a genius at branding and little else.
How would you rate the current branding efforts of the Democratic Party, and where would you like to see them focus?
Do you think I wrote the book because I have no problem?
obviously, different campaigns, different candidates, some things do change over time. In our current situation right now, how would you go?
From the time I wrote the book to this fourth day of the convention, no, the branding has not changed. And I love the party. I'm having the time of my life. But I still see, as I said, all the talk, all the speeches about, we're going to elect Kamala. She's joyous and she's smart.
So more focus on the down ticket.
What happens to the Senate and the House? We got to get the Senate and the House. If we don't, she's just in the White House, thank God. But we need the Senate and the House. And if they're not branding who Democrats are top to bottom in all these 435 congressional seats and the 100, they're not all up now, of course, the Senate seats, she's powerless. So I am frustrated. I am frustrated that book is not a bestseller here. Of course, the people who know it love the book. Let me give you a quick. Can I brag for just a moment?
Sure,
just a moment.
This is not that we've ever done that. But okay. Greatest radio show ever. You're appearing on right now. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates.
This is. I've heard that.
We self-describe.
All right, please continue,
Ken.
A little feather in my cap. This is about 3-4 weeks ago. I'm a New Yorker, and Jay Jacobs is the chairman of the Democratic Party in New York State. He liked the book Branding Democrats so much. He used his own money. He bought 30 copies to give out to all the congressional candidates in the state.
Nice.
So at least one party chief got it. But we got to get it out to others because they're the ones who make the decisions about who does what and who says what.
Ken, let me ask you. We've been doing a little radio show for about 13 years, and we called it the Devil's Advocates. How do you think we did with our branding, sir?
I'm going to ask, why did you do that?
Why would you do that?
Why?
Dominic and I like to argue. We were college roommates, and he is a contrarian, and we knew if nothing else, we like to have political arguments, and it's all in good fun. It's never personal, only politics for us.
Right.
So our attitude personally was, we're going to fight and whatever I like. Ironically, he always finds a way to not like. So he was the devil's advocate when we started.
Gotcha.
But we've grown into the brand, but
my family. Back and forth?
who's the devil on a given day?
Right.
Generally.
Depends on the day.
Well, gotcha. And topically, too. Usually there's opinions on the other side, right? Yep, and whether or not you actually believe it or not, someone usually, and sometimes it's you, Curtis, sometimes it's me, take the mantle of the other side just to have the argument, just to have the discussion.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah. You know, and I guess ultimately, too, Ken, when you know each other, when you have a relationship, you know each other over 30 years, you know, it gives you a lot of room to be critical of that and to poke fun a little bit and not take it personally. I think one of the things I really liked about this, and let me get you as we wrap up here, Ken, what do you think about the joy theme?
What's nicer than joy? I mean, Democrats too often are, you know, we're just on the defensive. They say something, well, that's not true, here's the truth. But to grasp something like joy and put it front and center, I started doing it on my TikToks, mentioning it early on, right from the beginning, because I said, that's a theme.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll carry it through for a while.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Ken, you never responded to my question about the branding, obviously.
Which one?
The Devil's Advocates.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and kids are not big fans. I'll just put it that
way. Name, no?
Yeah. It's fine.
Very diplomatically said. Ken Weber, he's got a fine book, I hear.
I cracked up the staff. That's all I care about. I don't care who's listening.
Branding Democrats, a top-to-bottom reimagining of campaign strategies. Ken Weber, the fine author. Thanks, Ken.
Fine enough. Ken.
We'll be friends still.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
Come on back. More Devil's Advocates live on the road at the DNC. Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for nasty women everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC in Chicago. Check us out on the socials on Twitter at Devil Radio. And the finest branding on Facebook, the Devil's Advocates Radio.
Branding Democrats, Ken Weber, the author thereof. Thank you, Ken, for joining us. We got another fine guest here at the table. Working class hero, Rick Smith, our buddy in union labor and also broadcast. Welcome back, Rick. How you been, man?
Hey, Rudy, Dom, good to see you guys.
Good to see you, man.
You've got the best seat in the house as far as radio productions.
You living right.
Right in front of the doors, man.
It's living right.
We're right in front of the back door. I mean,
there's a message there for you.
Yeah, I think there is.
Uh-huh. It's very consistent over time, Rick.
Rick, I've been watching you. We've been broadcasting the evenings around the corner over at WCPT, and you... You've had lots of big guests, man.
Yeah,
who are some of the big namers you've had?
Well, look, I'm a labor guy, so for me talking to all the labor leaders around the country, that's where my focus is. I want to know what they're doing, how they're mobilizing their members. And look, I've said for years that if you want a labor party in this country, the only way you get there is you take one of the two major parties over. And I think labor has done an amazing job of taking over the Democratic Party, because this convention, unlike others that I've been to in the past, labor is front and center, and it's not something that people are choking on. You know, I never bought Obama's, you know, labor speech. I met the man twice when he was a candidate, both times shook my hand, said we're going to get the Employee Free Choice Act and something better, got nothing. Now, out of that, I did shake his hand twice, softest hands of any man I've ever met. And if I had hands that soft,
what about my hands,
I'd never leave the house. But, you know, the reality is, you know, labor has finally found their muscularity, and they're now pushing, saying, look, damn it, we need labor law reform. We need jobs that can be unionized. And I think the Biden administration, his legacy is going to be, we're going to rebuild the American dream, and you do that through organized labor. If you're going to reunite this country, you got to reunionize it.
Rick, UAW president, gave the endorsement for Harris and Walls here this week. The Teamsters, and there has not been a national endorsement, obviously O'Brien, the Teamsters president, spoke at the RNC, and we understand was not invited, tried to invite himself. They said, no, thank you.
Teamsters were here. There were Teamsters on the stage.
Yes. And I guess that was
just
my
O'Brien
broader point.
Wasn't here. So O'Brien is not the Teamsters.
Right.
The members are the Teamsters.
Yes, sir.
There were people here who benefited from the Biden saving our pensions. And I am eternally grateful for Joe Biden saving the pension that I'm going to get when I get to be older. And those people, those Teamsters on the stage, they benefited from what Joe Biden did. These conventions are about getting someone elected. These conventions aren't TED Talks. And my problem with Sean O'Brien going into the RNC is nobody is going to remember the things that he said.
Right.
Two-thirds of his speech, I am 125% on board with. It's my show every night. But nobody's going to remember that. They're going to remember that he was there. They're going to remember that he said, you know, that Donald Trump is one tough SOB with a backbone. He wants to hear other people's opinions. That's what they're going to be told, because that's going to be the commercial. And all people are going to remember is that there was a major labor leader in that arena normalizing the Trump record. And for those of us who remember 4 years ago, we remember how bad Donald Trump was for organized labor. We remember how bad his NLRB was for organized labor. Maybe Sean O'Brien doesn't remember, but we do. And the idea of him going into that place and saying that J.D. Vance is somebody he can work with, that Josh freaking Hawley is somebody he can work with, get them.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. A very excited Rick Smith. Rick, labor isn't uniform, right? There's lots of conservatives and Republicans in the labor movement. How do the membership, how do you think the Democratic Party is doing in reaching out to that membership and explaining to them why the labor should vote for the Democratic philosophy, the Democratic Party, with these Republicans?
And,
what do you think the Republicans that are in labor, why they remain Republicans?
I think a lot of my red hat friends have the luxury of voting on secondary issues. They're not voting their job, because they think their union is, as they have always done, going to fight for them and get them the better wages, the better benefits, the health and
taking
retirement
it for
security.
Granted, perhaps.
Absolutely. Yeah. The reality is leadership is about what's doing in the best interest of the institution. Sean Fain's membership is not much different than the Teamsters membership. But Sean Fain is a leader, is going to say, no, I'm not going to stick my finger in the wind to find which way the wind is blowing. I am going to lead us in the best direction that I think possible. And that is not back to the Trump years. That's not forward to the Project 2025 years,
right,
which is talking about not unions, but suggestion box unions. You know, Mother May I unions, not unions who are going to demand anything or fight for anything.
Oh, of course not. That's too much.
So for me, look at Project 2025, and that's their agenda. So for someone to go, well, I want to talk to both sides. I do, just not in that forum. I want to talk to Republicans who are going to be helpful, because maybe in their best interest, there is something we can work on. But they have shown us year after year, election after election, decade after freaking decade, that they hate organized labor. They hate working people. It's that simple.
What do you think of the Trump is a scab t-shirt?
I wish my union had one. It should come in every union color.
Rick Smith.
Because he is a scab. What's the definition of a scab? Guy who crossed a picket line. Donald Trump crossed a picket line. He's a scab. Do I got a minute?
You got about 1 minute left. Let him rip.
You never cross a man's picket line or a woman's. My grandfather, when I moved in with my grandparents, said, you don't go across the street and play with that kid over there. And I asked him years later why. He said, that guy crossed a picket line 50 years ago. They ostracized that guy for doing something back then. We need to rediscover that kind of solidarity.
Rick Smith, our buddy in union labor, our friend in broadcast. Rick, how can people find your fine show?
Well, obviously, we're on the Civic Media Network right here. Thank you for Civic Media for having us. The Rick Smith Show, obviously, go there. Follow us on Twitter, Rick Smith Show, on all the socials. Grab the podcast where you get your favorite podcast, and Free Speech TV every day, 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Rick Smith, our good friend, thank you so much. Come on back, the rest of you. We are live at the DNC Day 4. It's Kamala's Day. Come on back.